ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Happy weekend, H-Town, as we get ready for a big one here at Trailer Wheel and Frame. We are live, large, and in charge with Travis Johnson and Keenan McCardell. I am Joel Blank. We are at the Trailer Wheel and Frame location at I-45 North at the Canino exit. Anything and everything you need for your truck, trailer, or vehicle, they have it here. Keenan and Travis are truck guys. They got tons of stuff already. And always looking for extra stuff for their trucks. Without further ado, boys, welcome in. Glad to have you both here on a F Yeah Friday. That's F-Yeah Friday. And we call it the three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. With defense, we got Trap J. With offense, we got K-Mac. And, of course, I'm special ed with special teams. Before we get any further, I guess the top story that everybody wants to talk about, gang, it is no Lane Kiffin. It is, yes, Major Applewhite. And I'll start with you, Trap, because I think it kind of surprised you. But your thoughts?
I think you got to really they should have sat there and waited for Lane Kiffin to be available. I think you got to at least kick the tires on him, the coach of that caliber, to come to Houston. I mean, because now all you did is still, I mean, regardless, it's still a stepping stone job. It's not like Major Applewhite is, if he wins here, like he probably will, like he won't move on and go somewhere else if another job comes open. So I think either way, you had to give them the opportunity to get the best coach you possibly could get in there to win the most games now.
So did they or did they not get it right? Did they get the best coach or no?
I mean, they might have got the coach they was going to end up getting anyway, but I think you still got to kick the tires. Lane Kiffin is, I mean, he's a three-time head coach, probably going to be a fourth-time head coach eventually, if not this year. But I think you still should have gave him the opportunity. He's ran programs. Major Applewhite has never had that opportunity.
And, Mac, I'll say this. I said it yesterday. The word came out first that it was a done deal, and they had breaking news on Lisa's station and all over the place said Lane Kiffin's the guy. Then all of a sudden they said, whoa, wait a minute. Even U of H, Hunter Yurecek, is throwing out the tweets with the smoke from the Pope saying, you know, we got a decision. But then all of a sudden they didn't. Now, was that – in my mind, that was – we didn't have enough time yet to get to the other.
And some technical difficulties there. ESPN, ESPN 97.5, as we try to effort Joel Blank and Travis Johnson at Trailer Wheel and Frame. ESPN, ESPN 97.5, make sure you can go follow Joel Blank at Pac-Man Joel.
Hey. Nick, are you there?
Yeah, we are back. You guys are back. What's going on?
There you go. So I don't know what happened there, technical difficulties as they may. Everybody loves at least the 30, 45 seconds of sultry Nick Sharara's phone voice. So we got that out of the way. Nick, I'm sure the dates will be coming. That's at No Hit Nick on Twitter between now and Saturday morning, just so he can make sure he's got plans for Saturday night. What we were saying before the technical difficulties was just, I was just trying to get your opinion on why the rumor comes out hot and heavy, it's Kiffin, and then all of a sudden – It's not. And I really did. I thought that was, let's go to the other candidates to make sure we handle it professionally and say, hey, thanks, but no thanks, but we appreciate you. And instead, they switch gears and get Major Applewhite.
It could be a couple of things. I think, I think they were in some contract work that they had to get done, some contractual work that they needed to get done. Also, I think they went back and looked at probably what some of the kids were saying at on the roster. I mean, that's a big play. That's a big part of that. You know, who are the kids comfortable with? You know, I think the thing with Lane possibly was that, you know, he said he wasn't moving until after, you know,
until Bama got done.
Yeah, until Bama got done. Which, when you go after a candidate like that, you got to give him that much at least. At least let him put some coaches in place and let them go out while he finishes his job with Alabama. And I think that was probably the biggest thing that went down. And then the next best guy got the job, I think.
All right, boys, well, let me throw this at you. Because Tillman Fertitta was big time out there saying, we're not going to be a stepping stone anymore. Whoever we get is going to stay, and we're going to make the contract such that you're not going to leave, or it's going to, whoever takes you is going to have one heck of a buyout if they try and get you to leave. with a guy like Kiffin, whose entire track record says, I don't lay down any kind of foundation anywhere. I'm taking bigger, better the next time it rolls up on my driveway. I would think that played into it as much as anything with Lane Kiffin, because as much as this is supposedly one of the best jobs outside of a Power 5 and better than some middle-of-the-road Power 5s, you know his goal would be to get back to the Tennessee SC-type status. I think that played a huge factor in it.
I mean, I could say that, but, you know, I really think that, you know, saying that this is one of the this was probably one of the best jobs out there because of what Tom Herman had did for the program. I mean,
right.
Because he set it up with all the players that he's recruited, and then he's won here. The momentum is going. People are behind this team, and then you think about it. If you're a head coach and you come here and get the right dollar amount for you and your coaching staff, mm-hmm. and you win, you have a possibility to get into the playoffs just because of what Coach Herman has done. I mean, he's put this school back on the map.
I was going to say, you got a great recruiting class. You got a quarterback coming in with experience that was a all-world quarterback in high school.
Right.
So you know you got someone you can work with there. And then my wife was asking me this morning, why is this job so attractive as opposed to a Power 5? Quite simply, if you're Purdue, no matter how good you think you can do, you're probably going to be middle of the road.
Right.
But in the U of H situation, as long as you play your cards right and just keep doing what you're doing, you're probably going to win your conference. You're probably going to have a good chance of running the table. You're going to get national recognition throughout the year, and it's going to be an easier path to get to a New Year's Six, if not a Final Four, as it would be if you're middle of the road in a big conference.
And plus, it's a big media market, too. So
yeah, it is.
I mean, that helps
And that's
out.
Another key, too. You're right. If you know, you could go to Baylor or Texas Tech or Purdue, do you really want to go to East Lafayette or do you really want to go to Waco, as opposed to not only are you in a major metropolitan, soon to be third largest city in America, but oh, by the way, in your backyard where you never have to get on a train, plane, or automobile, you could go recruit probably half of the top 100.
Definitely.
You can. I just – my whole thing is I didn't like the fact that they wanted to basically handcuff the coach to this contract. You know, if you're a coach, you say, oh, you got a $10 million buyout – I'm at University of Houston. Why are you giving me a 10? If you're paying me $10 million, I take a $10 million buyout. But you're not paying me $10 million. So, in my opinion, let's be real. We got to have some realistic goals set in mind when hiring our next head. When hiring the head coach, if it would have been Lane Kiffin, like this is you're paying for who this person is.
Yep.
You are accepting that this is going to be a step. I think that might have been the reason why they hired Major Applewhite, because they say, you know what, being the things that he's done in his past, the things that he got in his closet,
yep.
and being the fact that this is his first job, he might stick around a lot longer than expected or get to a point where he's on a second deal, and now they say, oh, well, he might not be going anywhere, but he's just doing that second deal just to get that buyout to where it's down to where he can actually go somewhere.
I mean, Major's a young guy anyway,
yeah.
and for them to think that this is not a stepping stone for him, they're blind.
Yeah.
They're blind right now. I mean, honestly, if Major comes in and goes 10-2, 12-0 one year, or 11-1, and get into a January 6th bowl, you don't think he's gonna look to see something bigger?
And he's gonna look this year.
I mean, here's
the thing:
they're blind if they don't think.
Look at South Florida. Look at Temple. Look at the coaches. All it takes is a 2 to 3 year span of success, and you are on the fast road to getting to whatever next job you want to get to.
Nobody thought Matt Rhule would leave Temple. They thought that was his.
They thought that was
that was his ceiling.
Man, how does anybody think that?
I mean,
especially
when you
Temple for basketball, I can understand it to some degree. Temple for football, if you're a true football coach, how are you going to stay there?
But see, I knew it wasn't his ceiling when he. Matter of fact, it was coaching convention 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's not. He's a great coach.
And just listen to him speak. He came in, spoke to NFLPA, little deal we had. Leslie brought him in.
Right.
And it was one of the greatest talks listening to Matt Rhule speak. And I'm sitting there looking like, are you kidding me? Like, this is a great coach I'm listening to.
Yes. I mean, I've had fortune enough to talk to him and have been out with him. And he's a great coach. Waco knocked it out. Baylor knocked it out the ballpark.
Is that right?
Yes, they knocked it out the ballpark. They got a great person first and foremost.
So to my point, though, that means that if, and to your point, I guess, as well, if Applewhite just comes in and does 10 wins a year, or because he really he doesn't have to do what they did at Temple and suffer through a 2-win season, then climb the ladder to 6 or 7, then get to 9 or 10. He could come in and have six, like Tom Herman, come in and have success right away, and then boom. Don't think that that door is going to start having a lot of knocks on it after even a year, let alone two, to right. say, hey, man, you want to take the next step, see if you can do this in a Power 5, see if you can do it on the big-time stage? We got an offer for you.
I think that's probably going to happen. But also, I think what also was Applewhite's the reason was Applewhite was because of recruiting.
Yeah.
They have to keep that class. They have a really good
big class. That's what I
they
said.
They got a big class that's really good. And I think they wanted to have a coach in place that was recruiting these kids, because recruiting is the lifeline of your program. So
especially here where you got so many recruits in your backyard.
Yes, and so they needed a guy like Major to stay around.
And
I think.
Do you think it affected also that Lane? Yes, being Alabama, he's a national recruiter. Being at USC, he's a national recruiter. And being at Tennessee, he's a national recruiter. But here in Houston, he doesn't really have too many ties to the state of Texas like that. And I think that also probably factored in.
Kids know the name Major Applewhite from his time playing at Texas,
well,
too.
I don't think the kids know. I think
some of them do, and the parents definitely do. But here's the other thing. The next step for Applewhite, in order to really be successful, if he can retain Orlando, if he can retain Todd Orlando on the defensive side, because now, to your point on the recruits, now the defensive recruits are going to say, hey, Tom Herman may be gone. Both coordinators are still there. If I was an offensive kid, I know I got the guy that I knew was going to be running it anyway. If I'm a defensive kid, I know Todd Orlando's going to be there. He was the guy anyway.
It's going to be a tough one to keep him.
Yeah, I think
there.
He might be heading up the road.
He's going up 290.
Yeah, I think the money might be too much. But we'll see. If he's really going to be successful right away, he's taken a lot of the question marks out if he can get Todd Orlando to stay.
It'll be a big move.
Come on out and see us. We're here until 4 o'clock. It is ESPN 97.5. We are at the Trailer Wheel and Frame at I-45 North in the Canino exit. It's Travis Johnson, Keenan McCardell, and Joel Blank with Nick Sharara behind the glass. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, it's Joel, Travis, and Keenan at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 North of the Canino exit. We're here till 4 o'clock. We are talking about anything and everything you want to talk about. Please be a part of the show. 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. You can call up and be a part of the show. You can text to that number and text us some of your comments and thoughts. Nick will be checking the text line and getting us the top text to get them in on the conversation. Or you can tweet us at Keenan McCardell, at TrapJ99. At Pac-Man Joel with a K. We were talking about Lane Kiffin before the break, guys. The fact that he's not the choice that Major Applewhite is. And it sets up some other things that are out there that you guys are very familiar with in terms of college football coaching opportunities. Lane Kiffin, by the time all is said and done, if he waits for Bama in the Final Four, may not have any job to go to. You look at what's still out there. Charlie Strong's looks like he's going to Central Florida, already in advanced talks to get that done.
That'd be a big hire.
That's a big hire for Central.
That's a big hire.
South Florida.
For South Florida.
Or South Florida. Sorry. Yeah.
South Florida. Scott Frost.
Yeah. Right.
That's a big hire for South Florida.
I read it wrong on the outline.
Because he recruits.
He's good in Florida.
Yeah, he recruits Florida well.
So that's a good hire for them. Does PJ Fleck go anywhere?
No.
No, not this year.
No. He stays.
Yeah, I think so too. Plus, he's a Midwest guy, is he not?
He likes Western Michigan, but he wants a.
I heard he wanted the Purdue job.
He wants a Power 5.
Yeah, he wanted the Purdue job because the Midwest is his area, and if he can't stay in the Midwest, where again, to his strength and to his credit, he knows, just like you said, Charlie can get into Florida. He knows he can get into the living rooms in the Midwest. So he was looking for a Midwest job. He thought that Purdue job was perfect. He didn't get that. So
they should have hired him, though.
I don't disagree. All right, Nick, we got a caller on the line. Who's there?
Yeah, we've got Mark in Houston. He wants to discuss the potential UH buyout.
Mark, come on in, man. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? As far as the hiring of Applewhite, I mean, it's okay, I guess. I'm not excited about it. I mean, if I was going to hire one of the coordinators, I would have gone with the Oklahoma coordinator. But, you know, going as far as buyout, I mean, you know, if any school, any Power 5 school really wants a head coach buyout on there, they're gonna pay the buyout, you know? I mean, you know, if there would have been a buyout on Herman's contract, I mean, Texas would have paid the buyout and whatever else money they have to pay to get Herman over there. So, I mean, that buyout is basically just, you know,
but
not
Mark,
really.
Don't you think that the reason why the offensive coordinator from Oklahoma was suddenly not a candidate anymore is because that whole clause and buyout situation was not something he wanted to deal with because he was going to get plenty of other offers from Power Fives in the next couple of years?
Most definitely. I think they basically got the guy who least resisted the buyout, the clause or whatever, you know? Because the fact of the matter is, like, if I was going to choose the coordinator, I would have gone with Todd Orlando, but I think Todd Orlando's a hotter name than Major Applewhite. And if she decides to stay one more year with U of H, you know, doing the defense, I mean, that defense has been awesome, you know, with him as a coordinator. You don't think he's going to be a hot name next year when jobs open up? You know, so it's going to be one of those things where if Todd Orlando stays or doesn't, you know, his name's going to be a hot commodity pretty soon. He's going to be one of those hot coordinators here pretty soon. And the thing with Riley, Lincoln Riley, he is the guy. He is the Tom Herman of this year, you know, what Tom Herman was a couple of years ago.
That's why I said Lincoln Riley, there was no way he was going to accept any kind of clauses in a contract that severely hindered his opportunity to use it as a stepping stone for another job because he knows – based on what people have told him, because of his track record, he's going to have a Power 5 come knocking on his door sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't downplay the fact of a buyout. I mean, last year we saw firsthand why the deal with LSU and Jimbo Fisher never got done. For the simple fact is, they won't have to buy out Les's contract for $10 million. They're going to have to buy out Jimbo's contract for $6 million, and that's on top
of all the coaches
that are trying to come. That's trying to come with him, and that's before you even pay the coach. So you got to factor that in when it comes time.
No, I understand that, you know, completely. You know, but it's just one of those things. Like I said, you know, Houston needs to get out of the mindset until they get into a Power 5 conference. This is what it is. But I mean, it doesn't hurt to be the best of the group of five. You know, I mean, it's until you get to that Power 5 conference, because. You know, it's just one of those things where we're like in this middle level where we're just like, you know, we're trapped. We know we can compete with these Power 5 teams, but we're not in a Power 5 conference. So we just got to be where we're at for right now so we can get there.
Mark, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks for chiming in. What do you think U of H Nation, Cougar Nation, feels about this?
It's probably not a big splash. Like,
it's not the sexy hire.
It's not the sexy hire. It might be a good hire it'll probably be a good hire because they'll keep this team together, keep the players that's been around the program. They know what to expect from Coach Applewhite. Mark said, Todd Orlando was probably is a hotter name, and he's probably.
All right, well, we lost Keenan there, but it's the Joel Blank Show here on ESPN and ESPN 97.5, 104. We'll take it a break right now. We'll come back in a few minutes here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Keenan McCardell, Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 north of the Canino exit. We apologize, we're having some technical difficulties. Not anything that we can't get over, and make sure that you guys get the best programming all the time. Here on 97.5, we were talking about some college football guys. I think the jobs are drying up now in college football. I'm not sure that Lane Kiffin's going to have a choice to go. Now, I will say this, Trap, something that you and I have talked about. there is an opportunity for him. It's just not what everybody's focused on.
No, let's go to LSU.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and I think, and to be honest with you, I think he's going to do it. I think for the simple fact is the history that him and Coach O have is it goes so far back to the point where Coach O gave him his second job he's ever had.
Well, that too. And but also, Steve Sarkisian is out there too.
But that's Sarkisian what I'm saying. So he is going to stay and take his job at Alabama.
I wouldn't. Because, like I said, that whole gang is thick as Steve.
They're all tight,
now.
Right? Yep.
So I'm thinking both of them going to come. Sark is going to be the QB coach. Lane is going to be the offensive coordinator. And it's going to be a problem for the entire SEC if they get them dang old Pete Carroll. And guess what? Every last one of them are goons on the recruiting trail.
Yeah.
Especially on the West Coast.
No question.
If you're a Tiger fan, if you're a Bengal Tiger, you got to be fired up if that happens because, man, their coaching staff is going to be reared up, ready to go. And as Trapp said, they can get into any living room in the country and they can make a hell of an offer to put together a program that will make Alabama shiver in their boots. Because for all that Nick Saban has done, he realizes that he feels like he's had a step above with his staff on every other staff in the SEC.
Yeah, because he's had all these head coaches. Yep. I mean, you got to remember they literally have put in rules in the NCAA because of stuff that Nick Saban was doing. The fact that at one point he had former head coaches as GAs.
Yep.
He had former.
Wow, yes.
That's why Sarkisian couldn't get a job on the coaching staff. They had to make him a consultant for this year.
Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, he got guys like he literally – and it's genius. But for those who know him and those who've been around, he literally has coaches in waiting that are in the building right now getting paid, like getting six figures just to be sitting on the side and say, you know what, you coach our pros when they come back around, but you're just in the building just hanging out.
Yeah, you know that budget on that coaching staff is at a level way above what any other coach getting a job anywhere in the country is these days, and that helps too. I always tell the story too about the man is full of intimidation. He's like the Belichick of college football, but he's also he's the intimidator. I mean, he likes the fact that he's in that position of power. All those coaching changes, if that shift happens and LSU gets all those guys, that takes a little power away from a guy who has an office with a doorbell under the desk that shuts a 300-pound door behind you when you're not looking, just so that it scares the crap out of you, so that you're already a little uneasy when you sit in his office. I mean, he is one of those guys. Like it or not, he's not a people person. He doesn't care what people think around the building and around other. All he knows is he's going in 24/7 to win college football games.
Man, my brother-in-law played for him
at
Michigan State, and I know a gang of guys that if he likes you, like with his player, like he's hard on his coaches. But as far as his players, the guys who play well and the guys who do the things they're supposed to do,
yep,
they'll do anything for him.
And they can walk on water,
and
right?
You literally see it on the sideline.
Go ahead.
We remember a couple weeks ago, a guy was losing his mind on the sideline. And Nick comes up to him and says, just calm down. What do you need?
Yep.
Just calm down. And every normal coaches have been like, man, get off my field. But Nick Saban was like, no, this is a playmaker. What do you need, son?
But when the kid said he needed three A's in English, social studies, and economics, Nick just picked up the phone on the sideline and called the instructors.
Not a chance.
Oh, I'm just throwing it out there.
But all that happens because he's the intimidator. He has the power. It's because he wins national championships. I mean, and people wonder why he continues to get 4 and 5-star athletes day in and day out, and he has them lined up, is because they want to be around winners. And I was going to say,
winning breeds winning. And
yes.
So if you're a high school kid and you know you're going to a guy that's won 3 national championships in the last 5 years or whatever it is, and you just go, well, if they want me, that could be a pretty dang ideal spot for me for the next 4 years or 3 years or to get
the man.
It's just like Belichick.
Every 5-star.
Yeah, I'm saying it's just like Belichick because he wins, people – put up with put
exactly.
up. He was in Cleveland with me. We didn't win.
Now, people didn't
put up with it. I'm just letting you go. Guys,
you're
know
talking
that.
About Belichick.
Yes.
Now, from a Saban standpoint, too, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but I know from people that were around the building, when he was with the Dolphins, he had a guy that was like his lynchman that would walk around the office. If you tried to talk to Coach Saban on a Monday, on Tuesday, the lynchman was hand-delivering a letter to you that states, Coach Saban is far too busy to deal with you trying to distract him from his day. So just understand with this letter, we appreciate. Don't try and do that again. That's the kind of ridiculousness that goes with Nick Saban.
I ain't heard about that one. I mean, I know he does a lot of stuff, but I hadn't heard. I mean, there's a guy that walks around with him because nobody has – you don't have Nick Saban's number. You have the guy that's next to him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's most head coaches. But I know one thing. Every five-star player that has signed with Alabama since he's been there has been a first-round draft pick.
Every one of them.
Every last one of them has been a first-round draft pick. Who doesn't want to go play for that? Who doesn't want to – even if you're a four-star, you're saying – I got a shot.
I got a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I mean, when the pro scouts, after they go through the draft and they pick the people that they want, and it's now it's free agent time, the first school they go to is Alabama, because they've been coached by Nick Saban. They know they're well coached, they're disciplined, and they know how to play pro style football.
Right.
And they go right there and say, hey, you know what? You might not have been drafted, but you're going to have an opportunity to make our team, a really good opportunity to make our team. And Coach Saban will tell you. And he was like, that's a good – he'll probably tell one of those guys, hey, that's a good place for you to go. I know the coaches there.
How about the fact, too, that if you're one of the top – you're being recruited, you ain't going to pick up the phone the minute that Coach Saban reaches out to you and tell the whole free world, Coach Saban's looking at me. Coach Alabama's coming at me. That's like –
I mean,
sometimes he doesn't like that. He's he's kind of a low key.
He's
type
a low key.
He is, but I'm saying the recruit itself is going, time out now. I got to be big time because Coach Saban's calling me.
Man, Coach Saban called me, and I remember like yesterday. He called me, he was at Michigan State at the time, I said, Coach, man, I heard you leaving. You know, you're not gonna be at Michigan State much. I'm gonna be a Spartan dog for life. A week later, he called me from LSU. I'm going to be an LSU Tiger for life. And I'm like, you know what? This might not be my guy. You know what I mean?
But yeah.
It's – I think
– So kids, he Tom Herman before Tom Herman?
Yeah, not – yeah, that too.
Yeah,
but I mean,
a little bit.
Kids got to understand why they're going.
It's a business.
It's a business.
No doubt about it.
And you can't fault – I don't think – like, the social media has changed it a lot.
Yep.
And changed recruiting a lot.
Yep.
But kids, yeah, they want to say, but if they keep quiet, I promise you they get a lot further – with things, if they just said, you know what, nobody needs to know how many schools have offered me scholarship.
Yep.
Now, Colby tweeted us and said, U of H hired Major because of his relationship with Kyle Allen. That may have factored in more than you think, because it could have come down to Applewhite or Todd Orlando, because as you said, Mac, look, Todd Orlando's probably a hotter name. But when you come down to not only recruits, but keeping a guy that you were really excited and worked hard to bring in when he could have gone a lot of places – it could have been, of the two coordinators, here's the guy that's going to keep Kyle Allen coming and happy. That might be a big deal.
I mean, it's probably a big deal. It's kind of like what the pros, how the pros take it. You know, you got to make sure your quarterback is happy with the hire. You know, but Kyle Allen is going to have 1 year left with these.
More than one.
No, he's a junior. He'll be a junior, so he'll have
two years left.
He'll have 2 years left, but, I mean – I think it's more not just Kyle Allen. I think it's the recruiting class. I think with Major there, it settles the minds of all the recruits that they have. And I just think that the hire was because of their recruiting class, how big it was, how good it is. You know, and it's gonna be hard. It's still gonna be hard for them to keep it because Coach Herman is gonna come in and raid some of those kids.
But also, what I'm saying is, Ed Oliver already had come out and said, I'm staying. And that was their
aim. He wasn't.
But understand, if there was any concern, I'm not saying going to Texas, but there was a concern right off the top. He came because of Coach Herman, so they thought they might lose him. So you don't lose your big guy on defense. You already know that Greg Ward Jr. is gone. So with Kyle Allen coming in, now you secure your quarterback and your best defensive player.
If they knew Ed Oliver wanted to go to school to play with his brother.
Exactly.
And his brother's a junior and he's a senior. So he's not going.
He wants to play with his brother.
But
I'm saying him doing them a favor, the selection committee, and coming out and saying, I'm from here, I'm staying here, I made a commitment here, and all the things that he said, that made it easier for them to say, okay, well, we're good there. Because I'm sure those two guys were neck and neck for who's getting this job.
Yeah, but not just that. As a young kid who started as a freshman, yeah, it's not a major program, but I mean he's got a lot of recognition. I think he made freshman All American a few other teams. But for a young guy like that, you're not going to transfer and lose a year
to come back
a year just to say, oh, coach left, I'm going to go over here and I'll get to play at UT. Like, that he's not going to do that.
That iron will cool off
real fast. Yeah, you got to keep that thing going. You got to keep striking that thing.
Yeah, no question about it. It's a great point. All right, so we've got a lot to get to. Coach Kevin McHale is going to join us for his weekly stop and call. Hopefully, as early as the next segment. He's texting me now, so we're trying to line that up so we can talk Rockets. Rockets with a big win tonight at Oklahoma City, where they peed down their leg and let one get away the last time that they were leading for 3.5 quarters. They're hot. They're on a roll, but this is a kind of team and a kind of game they got to prove they can win because this is a team that they're going to be fighting with in Oklahoma City. So we'll get Coach McHale on and get him to talk some NBA hoops, and we'll have a whole lot more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Worth dying for. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Trapp and Keenan, Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 North and the Casino exit up until 4 p.m. Stop in and see us. Great deal for all you guys. We had Rudy's Barbecue here today, and it was a great time had by all with plenty of food, as Brandon has a sausage in his hand right now, feeling it warm and tasting good.
Renee left us some stuff.
Renee's a great guy, lives out in Spring, and is taking care of his business at Rudy's. Here today at Trailer Wheel and Frame. You want to stop out and see these guys, meet all of us, take some pictures, and check out the great selection of everything that you need for your truck, your trailer, anything that you possibly could need to decorate or help, shall I say, better equip your truck, your trailer, or your service vehicle. Then head on over to Trailer Wheel and Frame. A guy that knows a little something about service vehicles in his spare time up in the deep woods of Minnesota, one Kevin McHale joins us right now. Coach, you would have a field day in the place we're at right now. Trailer Wheel and Frame, they've got everything you need for your trailer, your truck. I mean,
I already like it. I have a lot of stuff I need. I may give you a shopping list here when we're done.
It's not shocking to me. You just text it like you do anything else, and I'll turn it over to the guys, and they'll start working on it for you, because this would be a place that I know you would fit right in on. Welcome back. We've got Keenan McCardell, and we've got Travis Johnson on a Friday with you, and want to get your thoughts on some things. First and foremost, Demo, the deal finally gets done. Was that a little surprising to you that the Rockets matched the deal, and then B.J. Armstrong says, we've got some options, we're going to hang out and see what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think all that, you know, they've been playing such a game of chicken, it's hard to say. Normally, by that time, you said, hey, we're going to match. You've done a lot of the legwork behind the scenes, so everything's not out in public. And, you know, look, I've said it all year long. I think that BMO will fit in nicely with Mike's system, D'Antoni. I think the one thing right now, the Rockets are playing very well. They're scoring up a storm. You know, what kind of diversity are they going to be able to have as far as when the other team, does the other team goes big or their shots aren't dropping? You know, Demo gives you the ability to play big. You can play him along with Capella. And he gets more, you know, you don't have the shooting of Anderson, but you get more playmaking and stuff out of that four spot. You can play Demo at the center and you get good playmaking there. You have, you know, all playmakers on the floor. They can go small. It gives you a lot of versatility, I think. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of a strange, event right now, kind of where, you know, you match, he doesn't want to come, and I just hope it all gets cleared up.
Yeah, I mean, look, you and I said the one thing lacking on this Rockets team, the defense is better than we had expected. They're getting it done right now. But the most important thing was they didn't have one guy that you could drop the ball down in the low post at a key moment in the game and said, go get me 2 points. No low post scoring at all.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Demo can do that. You know, and again, you know, when everything's going good and you're playing really well, sometimes I think fans get a little bit of, oh, my goodness, this is the best team, you know, in the history and all this stuff. The reality is how you play when you're playing poorly. All these shots aren't going in. What's plan B? The other team's mauling you on the boards. What's your plan B? What's your team to offset that? The other team's running you out. What's your best fast team? You know, what's your best big? What's your best physical? What's your best team to slow it down? You have to have all of those answers inside of an 8 or 9 man rotation. And when you have that, that's good. I just think Demo helps them with some of those solutions to problems that you have on a nightly basis in the NBA. So, but they're playing well. I'm happy for them. They're scoring up, and I've always been a fan of Mike's system. He gets out. They shoot threes. They go on these runs, and they're playing well. So I'm good for them. Happy for them.
Hey, Coach, so question. So about his contract, it's Travis here. Good to hear from you. About his contract, why do you think they didn't put those $6 million in incentives in, one? And then why do you think the Nets didn't put a poison pill to make sure they got the guy that they wanted, two?
Yeah, I don't know. I think everybody's a little bit leery of his back, Rockets included. When the whole thing went down last year with Detroit and then he didn't pass the physical, I think everybody says, can we get Demo, but can we get him at a value because he does have this problem with his back. I mean, he's been hurt before. It's not like you sprained your ankle. I mean, when you start talking backs and some other stuff, that that's pretty serious stuff. But I've talked to Demo not too long ago. He said he feels really good, and if Demo is healthy, he can really help you. So the only reason I probably can answer that I can think of is they were all very concerned about his health. Everybody. And that's probably why Daryl didn't sign him to a longer-term deal that Demo wanted last summer. And I honestly think they probably could have got this deal done last summer had everybody just put their heads together and, B.J. Armstrong not getting mad and Demo just letting bygones be bygones and Daryl and his staff just saying, hey, look, we're going to take a chance on the guy and, he might get hurt. All this stuff probably could have been done last August. But unfortunately for everybody, it wasn't.
Hey, Coach, this is Keenan. This move, does this make the Rockets a better team, as far as in the Western Conference? Was this move a move to be able to match up with Golden State and have Demo as a five and be the rim protector and then still be able to play small? Or how does this move make the Rockets better?
I just think it gives them more versatility. I just think that Demo can do some different stuff. He can play the five, like you said. He can play a little bit of a power game at the four where he can go down there against, I know the year that we lost to Golden State in the conference finals, Demo was hurt. Really, Demo could have really helped us down there in that low box, just going against Green, because, Green's a good defender, but Green is still only 6'6", maybe. Yeah. 6'6", 6'6.5". And Demo go over the top of those guys, and you need some of those guys that can slow the game down when you really need a hoop. And that year that we ended up going to conference finals, and we closed a lot of games with Demo. I put Demo on the box in that fourth quarter, and we closed a lot of games going through him. He'll pass it out of there. He was scoring down there. He had a lot of confidence. So he gives him versatility. I think he helps him. Again, man, when you're dealing with your back, as you guys know, it doesn't take much. And if that thing goes bad again, I'm not really sure that Demo is going to be able to be an effective NBA player.
Coach, what you really needed during that Golden State series was someone to knock Draymond Green on his ass. But that's another story for another day. I also want to talk about you watching a lot of NBA basketball, and I know that the matchup everybody, including myself, was looking at the other night was the Clippers and the Warriors. I was a guy out there saying that the Clippers were a team that had turned the corner. They deepened their bench. They lengthened their rotation. That they looked like a team that was on the come and really ready to compete with Golden State. And we saw a completely different story. We saw a team that had got, much like we were just talking about, they got away from going to the low post. Blake Griffin doesn't even smell the low post. They're enamored with the three ball, and they're not making them. Redick has a bad night. And yet Golden State finds a way to win because they beat them by 20 points in the paint, and they realize when they're not making their threes, they attack the basket. Did that send a message, or is that just one of those nights and one of those bad games for the Clippers?
I think the last couple of weeks has sent a message, because prior to the last couple of weeks, I thought the Clippers, when I watched them play, there's so many things that I look at that it's so hard to describe in a 2-second soundbite. But you look at the vibe on the team. How are they playing together? Are they together? When things don't, a bad pass, does a guy look at you and say, no, don't worry about it? Or does he do the eye thing and, look at the bench, like, what the hell is this guy doing? Or this guy can't play. I always thought the Clippers had a lot of weird body language and weird stuff that when things didn't go well, I thought they turned, instead of inward and together, they turned outward and they started showing displeasure. I never feared them. I always thought that, they were a team that they would implode if you could push them to that point. I thought they were past that. They lost three games on the road on an East Coast swing or a road trip. And
the Clippers game, or excuse me, the Warriors game, it wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, the Warriors just dismantled them. Yeah. So I don't know, man. You know, I mean, I saw that early. I think they can get back to that. I think some of the guys they added helps with the chemistry, and I think they can become a really tight unit. Talent doesn't win alone in the NBA. It's talent and togetherness, man. You've got to be wired in, and you've got to have 8-9 guys on that team that know they're going to play and are willing to sacrifice and do whatever it takes that night to win that basketball game. If the Clippers get that, they have enough talent to compete with everybody. But, I mean, you know, hey, that's a big if. If you don't have that after, what is this, their third year, fourth year of being together? I don't know. Do you develop that overnight?
No, it's just like football. You don't develop that overnight, Coach. Because I was looking at the game also, and I'm saying that Golden State's coming off a back-to-back. The Clippers had 2 days of rest. I mean, what kind of it was a huge statement for Golden State to come in and play that way, because you tell me, would you rather play on a back-to-back? I know the answer, but just tell our listeners, you wouldn't want to have to come play the Clippers on a back-to-back. You would rather be the team that you'd rather be the team that's resting for 2 days. Am I right?
Well, let me tell you something, which I was a little bit different in this thing. I love when we play the game, you know, one of the top teams in the league, it would be your fifth game in 7 nights.
Okay.
And you'd kick their ass, and you'd say to them, yeah, baby, this is our fifth game in 7 nights. Just think what I'm going to do to you when I have 2 or 3 days rest like in the playoffs. I can't wait to see your ass in May or June. Let's go, baby. I love that, because I loved when everything's set up for the other team to beat you, the schedule, the travel, and you went in there and kicked their butt. And you looked at them and just said, man, we're not beating you on talent. We're beating you on grit. We're just beating you on toughness. We're going to punch you in the mouth and see how much you like it. And, you know, now the NBA has changed from when I played. But that same mentality has got to, you know, hey, you guys, football guys, okay? How about the first play of the game, your entire team, your entire defensive unit or offensive unit just punches the other team in the frickin' mouth. Comes off the line and punches them dead in the mouth. And you see them all go on their heels. You go, hey. Let's go. Nothing else matters. It didn't matter if you were tired before that. It didn't matter if your groin hurt a little bit before that. It didn't matter if you were a little beat up. Man, you got a sense of, hey, we got these cats on the run. Let's punch them in the mouth again. And I just think that's a great opportunity. If Golden State came in and did that, they said, how you like us now?
Yes.
How you like us on the back end of a back end, the back end of a back-to-back? And you want to know something? We'll kick your ass. If we play 5 in a row, it doesn't matter, because that night, when that game starts at 7:30 and the blood starts flowing and you get an elbow in the mouth and you start getting ready to go and the adrenaline starts going, you're not tired unless you tell yourself you're tired. If you can't fight for 2.5 hours, you don't belong in this league.
And, we love James Harden, Coach, and that's why we're going to take a break and be back with you in just a minute here on ESPN 97.5.